You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
February 2007. Just a show of hands, how many were here for 2007? Remember, that was a year of dreams. A lot of us, my joke when people ask, how did Silicon come about? And I said, well, when I tried to start my agency, nobody knew what a blog was. And when I explained it to them, they asked me what color my straitjacket should be. And I would say green to match my eyes. We had a lot of dreams in this room. And what really amazed me last year was when we went around the room, it was the interactive session, and we came up with the theme last year, how far we've come, mostly because I liked the Matchbox 20 song last year. But the reality was we had come very far. Jeff's company started growing. As you saw, he went to Silicon Valley. Leonard started doing his thing with the citizen journalism, and you see where that's at today. My success, and my company has grown about three times since about 300% since you met me 3 years ago. My success came from one of the key things that Jeff says, which is surround yourself by challengers. But the people who challenged me most were my clients. And one of the best clients I had who was inquisitive, smart, and determined to be successful in his social media initiative was Andrew Wilson with Great Atlanta. And so when they said, hey, let's make this your theme. What's Atlanta's social media niche? I said, I know who could lead that conversation. Andrew Wilson has been in charge of trying to brand Atlanta, which you heard from Jeff, there is a challenge apparently. And so what I assured him was that he didn't have to talk a lot, that basically he just had to get the questions going, get the conversations going, and I would be running around the room like Oprah, and you guys are going to talk to him. I have this mic in hand, and it's now your responsibility to lead this conversation. But I'd like to introduce Andrew Wilson.
Hello, everybody. I apologize for my southern accent. It's a little more south than you're probably used to. Actually, it's quite interesting how I'm following Jeff, where he introduced a problem which I wasn't planning to talk about, but I get an opportunity to talk about. Apparently, Atlanta has a brand problem. So by show of hands, how many people here live in the city of Atlanta? It's about 40%, 35%, I guess. And that therein lies part of our brand problem. We're having this meeting in Kennesaw. Right? And I've got nothing to do, no issues with Kennesaw whatsoever, but when you go traveling, I'm sure when Jeff was over in Silicon Valley and they asked him where he was from Atlanta. And I'm sure when Leonard goes traveling, he says he's from Atlanta, but he's a professor of Kennesaw, am I right?
And sometimes if you're in foreign countries, you have to say Atlanta. If you say Atlanta, they look at you whether you say Atlanta, and they get it.
So this is a pet peeve I have, which is that we all live in this greater metropolitan area of Atlanta, which is variously some 10 to 20 counties, depending on who you talk to. And the Metro Chamber of Atlanta embraces 20 counties, which actually includes Gainesville. Don't want to say anything negative about Gainesville, but it's quite far removed from Atlanta in many ways. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to imply anything there. But what we as a community, and this is about community and social networking, but what we as a community living in a metropolitan area of Atlanta need to first do is wake up and say, we live in Atlanta. We don't live in Duluth or Sewanee or Lawrenceville. We live first and foremost in this greater community, Atlanta. Right? And then once we've embraced Atlanta and stopped worrying about these little jurisdictional areas, then we might progress towards a brand that is formed by the people. Because New York has a brand, not because somebody went to the big branding exercise, but it evolved. The New York brand actually just evolved out of the people, out of the community. And so the same with Nashville. And, you know, you look at Chicago, one united city under one man. Anyway, that's my pet peeve. So, please, when you go home today, just remember, you know, Nick, tomorrow wake up, I live in Atlanta. My, you know, postal address may say different things, but I live in Atlanta. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was last night I attended my first SOFUN event. I stood Sherry up last year. And I learned a little bit. Yeah, she got me back and she invited me to host a panel discussion. last night I got a sense through observation that self-promotion was actually acceptable. Most people I met promoted themselves or their business. So excuse me if you see a little bit of self-promotion during the next few slides that I put out there. But I thought, what she's doing, I might as well do it. The other thing I observed was that I didn't have any part in the actual topic, right? And I don't like the topic, so I'm going to try and lead you into a slightly changed topic, which might accomplish what we're trying to do, but, you know, if not, shout at me and we'll fix it. Oh, sorry, and I'm also an old school, I like to... traditional, old school, traditional type of marketing approaches, and some of them might be subliminal. So what I'm supposed to be leading and facilitating you all to talk about is this, what is Atlanta's niche in the social media universe? And as soon as I read that title, I got really concerned. I said, what the heck are we bringing a bunch of people together to talk about something that, in my recollection of what the meaning of these words meant, was that a niche is something real small in my mind. And so do we want to be something, are we recognizing that Atlanta is something really small in a big place? You know, and I thought, well, that's not really a cool thing to talk about, because it's sort of, we've become self-aware. You know, if we're talking about niches in a big place, we're going to be a niche in a big place. So I thought, well, let's deconstruct the problem. Jeff said he was an engineer. I'm an engineer, too, by education, never by trade. So let's try and deconstruct this a little bit and just humor me. So let's look at the word niche. So I quickly, last night, had to go on, and, you know, what we all do is we go to Wikipedia because, you know, we've been learning from our children, those of us who are old enough to have them, that, you know, Wikipedia is a source of everything, and then there's this thing called the Wiktionary, and it has to be right if it's in there. But I did also look at the Oxford English Dictionary, which is actually, I think, the only source of that is right about the English language. I'm opinionated. So niche is actually derived from this French word to make a nest. And its most common usage is in the context, in an architectural context, which is a niche is a small recess, which was a small statue, an ornament, or something small in nature. So we're doing this small picture, which I don't like. So then I went a little bit further, and there was this nice breakdown in the usage of niche, the habitat niche. It's a physical space. Well, we're talking about virtual here. You know, this is the virtual world, so let's put that aside. That's not interesting. Ecological niche, now it gets a bit more interesting. It's the functional position of an organism in its environment, or the role the organism plays in the community. Now, this is sounding a little bit more interesting to talk about, you know, because it, you know, then the word niche has some relevance to the social media and social community context. But the one, you know, that I guess I'm supposed to be talking about is the market niche, a position of opportunity for which one is well suited. So let's look at the word universe. Well, everybody knows what a universe is, and it just confirmed for me, because I just was not sure that maybe over time, you know, I'd been asleep at the wheel, and the universe was no longer a big place, and, you know, I just wanted to validate. But, yeah, no, the universe is the sum of everything that exists, so that's cool. So it might get tiring, this, by the way. Fortunately, the message will get through, and I've only got two more slides, I think. So now, you know, social media, and, you know, I found an interesting thing out of Wikipedia that social media is distinct from industrial media. It's characterized as relatively cheap in creation and distribution, which is a good thing, but lacks accountability, which is no good thing. And I think what I heard Lenin is going down the path of is probably a phenomenal thing, which is going to try and bring back some of the accountability of professional journalism into the domain of blogging. And I think that a little bit will address something here, which is a negative in the context of social media. Now, Andrew thinks that user-generated content, some part of the time, is user-generated, yes. And the trick is always working through all the stuff that really is irrelevant and people just spouting off about nonsense and getting to the stuff that really is important and matters. So I thought that what we need to do was rephrase the question for today's session, and then I'm going to turn it over to you with no more self-promotion. In the context of social media, what role does Atlanta currently play in this greater community, the universe of social media? And is Atlanta positioned for any specific market opportunity? And finally, is Atlanta really any different from the whole? So these are three questions I would like you guys to discuss.
I did take exception to the previous slide that the social media lacks accountability.
Let's try, and we'll try and get microphones to you because this is being podcast for the Georgia podcast. Yeah. Two.
Dan.
Hey.
Well, we're off to a good start.
Dan Greenfield. The previous slide talked about social media and said lack of accountability. I just disagree with that. I mean, there is, if you say something inappropriate or something that is inappropriate or whatever, the committee will come down extremely hard on you. And as a result of that blogosphere ethic, people change. So the definition, I don't accept it.
I don't either.
One of the first people I'd like to just ask is, I'd like to ask
please. It's reference.
In other words, if you're not, I'm assuming this is your point of view.
No, that's a dangerous assumption, you see. That's an assumption most people make even in the social media context. That somebody writes something.
Why did you put it in the
slide? It's a discussion, right?
Yeah, it's a discussion. So one of the things that was great is that Sherry asked me to be provocative.
Really achievement.
Make another joke about Gainesville.
Save
yourself.
Exactly.
Trying to build a social media
can't
environment
consensus on that.
On behalf of Atlanta, it's called ATL Insider self-promotion. My firm belief here is that the community is self-regulating, and it's something I learned from Sherry. And you know, maybe I'm a bit naive, but I do believe the community is self-regulating. So that ultimately, you know, if people do post nonsense, or they are saying untruths, like, you know, I think of Swift boat incidences, that hopefully the community will eventually self-regulate and hold those people accountable. I don't think it's a perfect world, and I don't think there's pure efficiency in this marketplace yet. And so I do believe there's a lot of damage that can be done through this lack of accountability that in journalism generally tends not to happen to such an extent because journalists have to fact check before they post something. And in the social media space, okay, in most cases. And in the social media world, that people can post something and then influence people before they get actually held accountable. So, you know, but please, what I put up here is not my opinion in all cases. Sorry. Sherry? Oh.
John Cottrell, apparently, you know, at least we're from a technology perspective, literal with the English language. But in terms of social media, we're very pragmatic. We participate based on actions and transactions here. It's not very kind of just keep adding more followers. It's a very niche community. If you follow Twitter or you look within Facebook, we're very geographically focused here. It's not, what we share is really kind of almost a blue-collar approach to technology acquisition, relationship management, and thought leadership and sharing of ideas. You know, this isn't give me a bunch of venture capital runs. It's how can I extract my way to the next opportunity? What can I do inside my community to develop other people? We share our ideas here. We bring in the same people.
Better.
You know, that's what we're seeing. So if Dan's talking about accountability, you know, that's central to what we do from a social media niche perspective. You know, I've gone out and hung out with folks in the Bay and went to the Clue Train 10th anniversary, and it's very shallow. What we have here is a little deeper, a little more connected, because we run into each other at the mall. We run into each other in Midtown.
Wood.
Right? You can't really hide from a moniker or an ID. So transparency is physical here. It's not just conceptual. And I think that's the difference in our niche here. And that's why folks are probably getting upset about accountability, because we definitely do govern ourselves here in Atlanta. And that may not be the case across the space, but that's what I think our niche is here. Okay?
Identify yourself, too, when you...
Sure. My name is Kathy Cabrera. I'm the director of Communications. And I actually had a counterpoint to the accountability note. I think that what you're referencing, or at least what I took it from, is that in the online world, maybe there's, within our community, we all self-regulate, but there seems in the online world to be more fraudulent activity, possibly. Like, I just heard that on Facebook, like, to be careful of Facebook imposters and things like that. And I guess in the real world, there's more accountability for... You could get arrested for, you know, impersonating someone, but maybe there's people who aren't as up to speed on social media might fear it for because they're afraid that there is a lack of accountability because someone can go on and, you know, pretend to be on Facebook and communicate with your Facebook friends and things like that. So I just wanted to know that.
Well, I would like to just comment on that. I the more I embrace technology, the more old school I've become. I don't believe there's any difference in the online world and to the offline world. I think online technology is an enabler. If people are fundamentally going to be lying to you, they'll do it in the offline world as well. And they do it online. It's a lot easier to do in some instances in the online world simply because you hide behind an avatar or a pseudonym. But, you know, there's lots of people walking around in the real world that have changed their name countless times, and this is an age-old tradition of being human. Mm-hmm. And some part of us is inherently disrespectful to the integrity towards others. So I think we just need to start accepting that the social media world is really very much like the real world. It's about relationship building. It's about honesty. And my experience has been that when you have an honest relationship through the internet, you're going to get good results, and it will lead to online to real world interactions very quickly. And so, to John's point, I think you're held accountable pretty quickly because you're called, in a face to face situation. You can't hide behind an avatar.
I'd like to ask Sheila Abrams to talk for a second because we're talking about. You know, the niche that we might have here, or what is the role. Asila, it works for CNN, which is a major, maybe somebody called it old media, and he's going to argue against that. And he's also a leader of their innovation team at CNN. And I'm just kind of interested in what kind of relation all of us can have with CNN, and what kind of identity would CNN like to have with Atlanta. Here you go.
Sorry.
Thanks. I would just say, I guess, that does everybody here know about iReport? Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, basically, it's you just post up your own original still video, still picture of your video. People comment back on it, and if it rises up to the top and enough people take interest, then it can go on the .com networks or on there. So this is a way so that, you know, a lot of people say about major media that, oh, you know, the stories that I care about, they don't get on major media, especially amongst community activists. So this is a way that people can put their stories, rise up to the top, then those stories will get out there. So Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, what you were saying about self-regulation, yeah, sure, we get a lot of crazy people that post there. It's self-regulated, and, you know, that works pretty well for the most part. We internally crowdsource the vetting of those stories, which, yeah, you know, it's straddling the line between journalists and not journalists, you know, call it that. So we have some people that internally will vet stories that, you know, maybe they didn't go to J school, but, you know, they're more than qualified to call up the people, get the backstory, verify that it's actually a real story. So it's an interesting development, and, you know, I think that there's a lot of room to work with it locally and you know, to use it for your purposes with getting more local stories out there. And also things that we wouldn't think are hard news related, they can be framed within the context of hard news. So I think that's something to consider when you're trying to get your personal brand or your company's brand out there.
I think one of the, I'm Steve Miller with Legacy Educational Resources. I think the difficulty of branding Atlanta or saying what Atlanta is all about in one sentence is actually our strength, because we're so diverse. We have so many diverse businesses. That's wonderful for the economy. I mean, if it were Dalton and we were just selling carpet, we would have a nice brand, but we'd be hurting. But what that means to social media is that we're in Silicon Valley. Sure, we know what they're all about, but here in Atlanta, people who are applying social media can apply for so many diverse companies. And I think that's our strength. I mean, if, as Jeff Haney said, we're trying to test everything we're doing, Silicon Valley doesn't have the ability to test it or as closely as Atlanta does, when we can meet these people in the mall and talk to them everywhere who are actually using the technology in actual businesses. So I think that the difficulty of defining Atlanta is actually our strength, because of the diversity, and that can point toward our place in social networking.
That's part of the reason why I put that question at the end, because I think Atlanta is very diverse, and it's becoming more international, and that could be, you know, Atlanta could be a microcosm of the greater whole of the universe. And good point.
Rob Dunford from strengthandties.com. Kathy Cabrera, I'm so glad to see you. I've been looking for you. By the way, I have a free ebook at strengthandties.com on how to use technology to strengthen parent ties. My question to you is, in spite of the assigned topic assigned to you, what are the top two or three issues that you're facing in your responsibility, and how are you addressing them?
Okay. I guess in the social media context, let's try and keep it narrow. otherwise, unless everybody wants to give me $50. In the social media context, I think I've been doing this now for close on 18 months. We launched the social website in Thanksgiving and 07. And the biggest issue is interaction. We've got a lot of lurkers, people who come. We've got a lot of people who signed up to join the community. We have something, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 members now who have registered and signed up to the community. We have very few people contributing content. So, you know, I go through, to Jeff's point, I measure everything. I can track everything. And I'm looking at what people are doing on the site. At any point in time, during the course of the day,
they're not
I've
contributing.
Got between 200 and 500 people online. And only maybe one or two will have actually signed in and declared themselves. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, actually, I've been fairly successful. We have about 50,000 unique visits to the social site a month. And we're doing no promotion any longer. It's just stable. You know, so people are coming back. They're looking for content. We've got a few bloggers have been recruited. You know, we'll ask them would they like to use our medium to blog whatever they wanted to blog. There's no moderation. It's an open community. You can go on and post whatever. I moderate it from a perspective of actually I don't believe that it's an area where we can allow self-promotion of non-Atlanta-based businesses. So when we have an Atlanta-based business doing a shout-out, say I've got something going on in town, I don't mind and I leave that on. But if somebody goes on and says, I've got a great record album, I'm releasing it out of an artist in LA, then, well, sorry, this is an Atlanta community, and I get that concept off. But, you know, the biggest issue so far has been, how do I get those 200 to 500 people at any point in time actually interacting and putting in content? And, you know, so far, that's one of my nuts that I haven't cracked yet, because it seems that the community of Atlanta is not diving into this area and interacting. And if anybody's got some, you know, tips out there, you know.
Well, I'd like to just say this is, you know, the 1% rule, and the 1% of the people are going to contribute a lot to you. It's always going to be low, and it's a problem. But on the other hand, you know, if you can get large groups of people to contribute a little bit, then you can have a whole lot. So even like Wikipedia, there's only like 900 people who spend a lot of time constructing Wikipedia. But, and Clay Shirky points this out, if you haven't seen the book, it's Here Comes Everybody, it's self-organizing. And, but what he says, those 900 people, if you think of those 900 people putting in 1,000 hours a year, let's say on Wikipedia, that's 900,000 hours of work. If you get 1,000,000 people to put in 1 hour, that's 1,000,000 hours of work. And so that's one of the kinds of ways you want to think granularly sometimes, you know, because people tend to work, they're very willing to help out with small tasks, and they're willing to do it at their own time, and it's something they're interested in doing. If you take any of those things away, you're
going to
have real problems getting participants.
Well, and Leonard, just jumping onto that point, is that one of the things we did when we observed the fact that people were not participating in the community, one of the things I noted was that I had actually made it sort of a closed wall community in the sense that anybody could see the content, but to actually add content, you had to register. So I said, okay, fine. I'm going to disable that feature in the forum section and in the photo comment section. And you can post anonymously and see if that would foster a greater amount of interaction, because people might not want to be, you know, registering in the community. And we saw a little uptick, but not to the point that I could say, you know, people are afraid of actually declaring who they are or registering or anything.
Hi, I'm Kim Brahma. I have I'm a videographer. How many creatives are in this room? Okay, our community in Atlanta is growing, and the reason for that, I moved here when I had black hair and the film industry was strong here. A young man, and he is a young man, by the name of Tyler Perry, is bringing that back to Atlanta. That is wonderful for every creative in this room, because we now have validity again. It's helped in some ways. Now, in my industry, which is primarily commercial videography, I don't just work with people in Lilburn, Georgia, which is where my studio is. It's in Gwinnett. Anyway, I can work with graphic artists in South Atlanta online at the same time. We do voiceovers with people from Chicago. I worked in Abbeville, Alabama Tuesday and broadcast it with my BlackBerry and a wireless speaker that's being used right there to 300 stations in the United States. Social media is the future for creatives, and Atlanta has a strong creative community if we'll just get our niche together.
And I just want to add to that, because I forgot earlier, Not only is this being podcasted, it's also being streamed live on Amani Channel's blog, which is the Urban Report. So if you know any... I'm sorry? My Urban Report. See, RSS feeds hurt my memory. So if you know anyone who needs to be watching this, but they're not here, it's there.
Okay. My name is Paul Torlamezian, and my Twitter is i5alliances, if anybody cares. I'm going to get to the questions on the screen here. I think I wasn't here when Sherman did it.
What?
Thank you. But I think part of our brand and identity is that Sherman tried to destroy us. And I think what that means is the establishment tried to destroy this city and didn't work. So I think part of our brand is that we rise from the ashes. They're going to try to kill us. They're going to try to tell us this social media isn't going to work. They're going to try to wipe us out, and we're going to rise from those ashes and prove that it can work. And part of our brand is that we can defeat what the establishment throws to us. The second part of our brand, I moved from Boston, you can tell by the accent, to come here. When I moved here 25 years ago, people said, yeah, Atlanta, that's where everybody goes for 2 years and never leaves. Okay? So what are people saying about social media today? Try it. Give it a try. What's going to happen? You're going to give it a try, and you're never going to leave it. Okay, a third component, I think, of Atlanta that applies to social media, we're the hub of the South. People from outside of the area look at the hub of the South. This is the hub of the way things are happening that are new. I think we can be the hub of the new social media. I think there's three things that are our brand, that the city already has, that directly relate to social media. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Andrew? Sorry? I'm Julie Squires with Soft Describe. So to your point a few minutes ago, how do you get those 200 to 500 people interacting and sharing content? Here's one idea. That maybe you can extrapolate to your situation. In the hotel industry right now, destination resorts, particularly in upscale markets, are creating communities, closed communities. So when you make a reservation, you're invited into the community. You can chat with people and, you know, make appointments, etc. And when you check in, you're invited out of the community because you're already on property. You're going to meet, you've already set up your appointment. So it's working really well in that community, and it's catching on. So if you can extrapolate that to some of your sub-communities, that might work.
Well, thanks. Obviously, I'm in the hospitality industry now, so we look to what hotels are doing. I mean, and there's one of the, and I don't have a strong opinion yet, I have not got the answer. One of the challenges I see is creating sub-communities with little, say, low-walled gardens within a greater community. So that people can define themselves and say, okay, I'm interested in this little patch here, and you build a community. You see this on Facebook. People associate with multiple groups, and they're not closed communities, they're open, you know, but there is clearly a definition. You've got a ring fence around it. I'm not sure yet that this can foster more interaction in the long run, you know, because I'm not sure that the bigger whole of Atlanta is relevant enough, or should we all just be talking amongst ourselves about our own little interest area? So the challenge I have is that when people come to a destination in Atlanta, it is such a diverse place. We know that many people come to visit family and friends. Many people coming for conventional business, and a few people will come to the aquarium. And actually more than a few, but what is separating all these people, they all have their own little interest in just to say they're coming to Atlanta, which is a defining destination, doesn't necessarily then mean that you can own the right to bring them into this community and they're going to interact. So what I'm trying to do is to foster sub-communities, arts and culture, sports, dining, where people have interest in those individual communities. But, you know, we all eat. So people have a varying degree of interest in food, dining. So some people actually will go to a Braves game and a restaurant, and they'll be a foodie. So there's two communities that can put a foot in both and interact. This is what I've been trying to do, but you know, I believe very much technology is the enabler, and then Sherry convinced me the community will work out what to do with it. So what we've done at the Atlantic Convention and Visitors Bureau is used our resources to build a technology platform for the community to come and use. Right? And my challenge now is just getting the word out without much resources and marketing dollars. And the other challenge then is, you know, one, will people pick up this technology platform and use it? Or do they want to go somewhere else and just stay in Facebook? So.
Hi. My name is George Cheney. I'm a first-year MBA student at Georgia Tech. I was a staff writer at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution up until about June of last year. About 9 or 10 months or so ago, I wrote a story about MySpace and music in Atlanta, and specifically in Gwinnett, because that's the bureau I was working in, looking to see who the more popular musicians were. And on MySpace, a lot, you know, almost a preponderance of the top 20 or so MySpace music pages were Atlanta artists, T.I., Outkast, Ludacris. And there's, you're asking what role does Atlanta currently play in the greater community, and this sort of cultural growth of this music has impacted social media, because a lot of these musicians are using social media to promote themselves. The thing is, in particular, the Atlanta Visitors Bureau has had sort of a love-hate relationship with the rap industry in Atlanta because of certain perceptions of, you know, well, people shooting each other. That's bad. Makes it hard to sort of promote that as something for visitors to think about when they come to Atlanta. I mean, you know, welcome to Atlanta, watch your head. But it's something unique, there was a fellow who was talking about how, you know, Atlanta's economy is very diverse, and that's a strength, and it is, but it also puts us in this sort of mushy middle brand X kind of community. That's hard to promote. And I'm just wondering what your view of all of that is, and whether or not Atlanta can start to embrace that sort of cultural element in a positive way.
Well, it's a great point, and you know, firstly, I mean, I think it was the Buckhead residents that didn't like the hip-hop rap industry, mm-hmm. because that's where some of the shooting occurred, at least. But that's part of the Atlantic City. But I think the Convention and Visitors Bureau is actually very embracing now of the artistic, cultural growth of this industry. We did some research a couple of years ago as to what are those sort of defining elements about Atlanta that we could promote to make Atlanta a stronger place and a more branded place. And the National Black Arts Festival was one of the entities and events that we thought had legs and the merit to be promoted on an international platform. And you know, now I've heard this from a couple of people today, that you know, the creative aspect of Atlanta, the arts, the culture, the burgeoning film industry through Tyler Perry's investment, the hip-hop R&B industry, which is growing, you know, Kenny Leon and the performing arts, you know, this is all sort of embodied by the National Black Arts Festival, which are trying to turn the festival into a 365-day-a-year event using social media. So that and I'm in discussions with, been privy to some discussions about what they're trying to do, and it's really exciting because they want to get the world interacting with artists in the context of Atlanta. And we have already such a strong platform of artists in the African American community that we have the right to sort of claim that as our sort of our own. and without having to alienate, you know, other diverse groups. Like, so, you know, we can be really embracing of this industry, and I think it can be a defining, one of the defining points of Atlanta. It won't be the exclusive one. The other one is just anecdotally that we selected is the Dogwood Festival, which coincidentally is also an artistic and creative festival. So we felt that those two, the Dogwood on a national platform because of its sort of embracing of Southeastern culture, and the National Black Arts Festival on an international platform.
Hi there, I'm Shara Bell, and I have a company called Creative Nohu, and I work to promote the creative industry in Atlanta. And through, I started recruiting, and through kind of that, how do you attract talent here, how do you keep talent here? But the whole idea, we did a, I was president of AIGA Atlanta, and we did a an award show, and it's like, how do you brand design in Atlanta? And what occurred to me as you were talking earlier, that we have this great opportunity that you need early adopters that are going to come to your site and build information. We have people that want to promote in this room the burgeoning social media community here, and there's a really great opportunity for us to become users that are not lurking, but are contributing to what you're doing and promoting Atlanta. So, challenge to everybody, let's get on the site and build it up.
Oh, that's fabulous to hear that. Thank you. And what I would say is that, you know, the thing here is technology is an enabler, and I don't want to be promoting my site. It's not my site. I did it for the community, and it wasn't philanthropic. I was told to do it. So it was that, I think one thing I can take credit for is that there was a lot of resistance in the hospitality community, particularly, about us stepping in and the Atlantic Convention Business Bureau fostering a social community environment where people could say negative things about it. So one of the things I was really strong about from the get-go was we're going to have an open community, and if people want to diss your brand, then you have an opportunity to reply and provide a retort. You know, and by the way, it's better that this conversation is taking place in an environment that we are looking at and controlling, because if it's taking place anywhere, it's somewhere, it's on TripAdvisor or Virtual Tourist, somebody said a negative thing about you, or it's on Facebook or MySpace or Orkut, any kind of community. And so if you want to have sort of an effort to coalesce and aggregate all of this commentary about your brand, and this is me speaking to the hospitality industry, in a place where you can then respond to it, or do you just want to have it happen over there where you don't know about it and so you feel comfortable and can sleep easy at night? You know, so we've seen people go on and absolutely slam some companies' services. And then we've seen the trend, though, is that most people are quite positive.
Trend.
Atlanta's quite service-oriented, and they deliver, generally speaking.
I'm Sila. Okay, for your specific question earlier, I would just suggest that to take a very close look at how you're recognizing your star contributors. Also, and that's more an external thing to the other contributors. And then also, how do you reward the most commented or the favorites in the community? And that's more of maybe you to them directly, sending them a shirt or something like that, you know? And then also, how you leveraging the power of personal narrative. So when people have a strong personal narrative, you know, is that featured on your site? And, you know, because people, that's a good hook. And then separate from that, we were talking about niches, and you brought up about with the creative community. So a few of us, my colleagues and I, have identified that there is a huge opportunity as far as the convergence of leaders in business, and not necessarily meaning like a CIO or an SVP, but anybody, even you know, somebody in a mailroom that is leading change at a business, and the convergence of those people and those that are leading political change. And I know that politics sometimes is a taboo kind of subject around this area, you know, to talk about. who you're going to vote for, things like that. You know, sometimes it's met with, well, that's my personal business, I don't talk about that. So there's a tremendous opportunity there. This is happening a lot in West Coast, in New York, in D.C. right now with the new administration. So there's an opportunity here to bring that together. I think that's a niche. And if you're interested in that as well, we are forming up something around that right now. I think there's also, you know, a great opportunity for the creative community too.
And I think this is the final comment for the session.
Yeah, I want to have one more then because he's been waiting.
Okay.
I'm Rick Thomas. A couple of observations. The cities that we might compare ourselves to have a deep history in the thing that they've excelled in. So we need to take a long-term view of what is our future history. And we have to build on the history that we already have, which is maybe a little harder to find. There's our transportation and logistics hub. It's always been the regional business center. So maybe there are some innovations in business. How can we coordinate our local businesses better within our community? Also, to go on a little bit, hip-hop might have a negative impression that there is violence there. But there's also the aspect of hip-hop that is in reconciling because it has experienced violence. And that's another historic basis for Atlanta is in the Carter Center, the King Center, our heritage of experiencing violence and healing communities. So while we have the cutthroat business aspect of Atlanta and maybe the competition there to do better can incorporate social media, but also just with a vision of the future, how we can reconcile conflict in the world, Atlanta may have a special place to start.
And our last...
My name is Lyle Harris. I am a journalist. I want to say former journalist, but I'm still a journalist. I used to work at the AJC for many, many years. And I left about a year ago because I realized that the industry that I was in the midst of a creative destruction. And across this country, as well as here in the city, the traditional media is falling apart. I left and I started, launched about actually 2 weeks ago after about a year of work. I started something called the Georgia Online News Service. And the point of this new service is not to be sort of like the traditional conventional media, but to try and get folks involved in journalism in a way that is really, really proactive. It was not enough for me anymore when I was working at the newspaper to just be writing about things and pointing out problems, and I thought there was a real opportunity to get the larger community involved in some of the issues, transportation issues, the water and environmental problems, the educational problems that the state has had, to get the community really involved in things that matter. My question is not just self-promotion here. My question is how, and I'm gonna put this to Leonard in the larger group, how do you really harness the power of social media to affect the kind of social changes using journalism? And that's why I'm here, and that's what I hope that I can engage some of the other attendees and Leonard and others about.
Well, actually, that's why I got the $1.5 billion grant. To work exactly on these kind of issues, because we don't know the answer to them. We don't know the answer. And one of the other things that I wanted to bring up from what I heard in this discussion is a lot of people saying, well, how can Atlanta help us do this? That was like, I used to be in the civic journalism area, and we were trying to teach journalists how to reach out to citizens. That paradigm has changed. You don't have to wait for Atlanta to do anything for you, you know? And you're a prime example of it. You've gone out and set up your own Georgia Online News Service. And that's the key of what we have here today, is that every one of us can create our own things. You know, I blog in my backyard and hear from people in Ecuador and get invited around the world sometimes because somebody read my blog. It's like amazing. It's amazing. And so we all have an incredible amount of power, and we have that amplified over and over again if we work with everyone else. If we start collaborating with other like-minded people, and they tend to find each other. That's that Clay Shirky book, Here Comes Everybody. We used to spend a lot of time organizing meetings like this, but you can organize, self-organize on the internet in minutes. and reach audiences that in the past is impossible to reach, and to collaborate in ways that would have been possible. So, I mean, we're at such a great point, you know, even though we see journalism falling and going down, we're at such a great point in history to do amazing things. And I think that's, everyone knows that. That's why I went here. So.
My closing remark is that I think from what I've heard somewhat confirmed this to me, we need to take the emphasis off this niche, in my opinion, nonsense. And rather, this is about participation in the community. Atlanta can, you in Atlanta can shape change, and Atlanta will eventually adopt a position, a brand in the greater universe. But trying to find a niche is now, and trying to define it is not going to work, in my opinion. I think we really need the public and people in this room obviously have a passionate interest in social media. You need to get out there and just do more of what you're doing today, and it will grow, and we will find our place in the world. And I'm hoping that it's not going to be a niche. I hope it's going to be a real big place. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.